This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Studio is Sam Serna. Welcome to the show, Sam. Now, Sam's got a show as part of the comedy festival, which is Bunny Rabbit. Now, Sam, we want to get a bit of a background on you, and we ask most of our guests, how did you sort of get started in the industry, and where did your love for the arts and comedy come about from?
Well, it's a family journey. My dad has always been one of those people that cannot stop making jokes. And he told me this story when my grandfather died. My father was 14. And he had to go to the register to do all the paperwork because he was the older son. So he went there and the person that was helping him was writing, standing up, and somebody took his chair away. And then when he went back to sit, my dad was heartbroken. His father had just passed away. And he told me that at that moment, he didn't know whether to cry or laugh. And that's why he has this, and he has passed that on to us, of always trying to
make
fun.
See the funny
side. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so was your dad then also in comedy as well?
No.
Or he just liked the funny side of things?
Yeah, it's that thing that I've always been prone to finding the funny side or appreciating when somebody does.
Yeah. Okay.
Where's the accent? We've got to ask that, you know, like, because an accent in Australia is nothing, but it's always nice to find out where people are from.
Yes, I know. I play Guess the Accent a lot. But I'm from Venezuela.
Right.
That's in South America.
Uh-huh.
And part of the reason why I've had the need to make fun of myself and what I go through is because of coming from this particular place. It's a very hectic, it's causing the biggest refugee crisis in the Americas at the moment.
Yeah.
So you have to have humor to make it through.
Well, how did you end up here?
Well, because of the situation in my country, a lot of people have left.
Okay.
6 million people gone.
Whoa, including 6 million.
Me. Yeah, wow. That's about 20% of the population. Like Melbourne leaving.
Yeah.
And while I understand that some Australians would like that, it is not a good scenario.
No.
But that's how I ended up here, and I am so thankful to be here.
Oh, excellent.
And then, you know, I always had a love for comedy. I loved Nanette. And I know that it is a bit of, controversial, 1 hour special. But to me, that's what let me know, maybe I can do this. Because I've always liked to write material about things that are important, that have like a deeper undercurrent. And watching that, and Hannah Gatsby's.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nanette is the Hannah Gatsby special that she did.
Yeah.
Now, so were you doing comedy before that, or did that encourage you to get in?
I always had that, you know, inner, I call it my silly, super secret dream. You know, we all have one of those. Oh, I want to be an actor or whatnot. Mine was that. Nanette was a bit the catalyst, also divorce, which is a big part of the show, because I wouldn't have dared done this, married to my ex.
And also now I'm going to come back a little bit to when I first mentioned to you about how did your love for, you know, how did you get started in the industry and how did your love for arts come about? Now, David, David in the studio might have looked a little bit strange at me when I said, how did your love for the arts come about? Because we have an ongoing debate about whether is comedy art? And, you know, so what is your view on that? I mean, do you think comedy is art?
I do think comedy is art.
Why? I've got the spotlight on you now. Why do you think that?
Well, to me, I mean, that begs the question, what is art? To me, art is anything that involves the expression of your inner world to the outside. Whether it's performing or painting or making a movie, that to me is art. Exposing your inner world, your truth, in one way or another. And that's what I do with my comedy. And I may agree with you that maybe not every comedian does that with their comedy. But still, I do think that it comes from a real place, any joke you hear. So there is a bit of that expression of your inner world.
And writing, you know, like where a lot of people just stand up and tell one joke after another, but you actually said you wrote your show. Does it follow a story? Does it follow maybe your story? Is that what it's about?
Yes, yes. The show is called Bunny Rabbit, and it comes from a real life experience I had after divorce.
Oh, it's not
divorce.
Because of Easter?
No. I mean, if you want to come because it's Easter and it's bunny themed, please do. But it's called Bunny Rabbit because after divorce, I tried Tinder. Nah. Then I said, you know, I'm going to do this the old-fashioned way. So I dressed very, you know, I'm Latina, so I know how to dress like that. And I went to the pub. And when I got there, it didn't take 5 seconds for me to realize that there were 5 dudes looking at me like I was a steak.
Oh.
And I felt like a bunny rabbit, because that's why bunny rabbits, I don't know if you knew this,
no.
Bunny rabbits are naturally scaredy and, you know, always looking out. That's only natural defense, because everyone wants to eat them. So that's why. And that's exactly what I felt at that moment.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what you've built your the show that you're doing on.
Yes.
Okay. But what about where you're from? Does that have a part of it as well?
Definitely. It ties in into that because I come from one of the most dangerous cities in the world. For the last 20 years, Caracas, the capital of Venezuela, has been in the top 10 of dangerous cities.
Wow.
So over there, everyone is a bunny rabbit all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be watching out.
Yeah.
And so definitely that forms a part of the show and the narrative that I'm trying to build.
Right. And is your family still there, or are they here as well with you?
No. I got my parents out about 2 years ago. Uh-huh. They are in the States right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, as long as they keep away from spas or schools, or they'll be safe. But that's a bit of a joke.
That's all right, I got it.
It's a bit dark. Sorry, it's too early for that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm one of the luckiest people I know, because I have many friends overseas. We are spread all over the world.
Yep.
If you could leave, you left by now.
Yep.
And a lot of them asked me, you know, how do you do this? We were lucky enough that my brother left 20 years ago and he's already an American citizen.
Uh-huh.
So it was really straightforward for us to take them there, and they already have a green card.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because that is a problem. Well, in the Trump era, it was a real problem.
Yeah.
Fantastic. How hard was it for you to get into, you know, I suppose 10 years ago it was a little bit easier to get into Australia.
Yes, yes. I also have a skill. I'm an electronics engineer.
Hey, hello.
Yeah.
I know. And is that your day job?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I work in IT.
Right.
I love it. It's very easy to me. Yeah.
It's cozy.
I know. I'm privileged like that as well.
Right. Okay. And so that's what got you over the line with getting into
skill
Australia.
Skill migration. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
So, you know, like, it's obvious to us, but how we probably feel about it. But what is the difference between where you've come from and, you know, like, say, Melbourne, you know, like you're living in Melbourne.
Mm.
How different is city life? You know, like, how extremely different is it?
Well, it is not that different.
Okay.
Because that's the thing. I come from a middle-class family.
Yeah.
So in that sense, you know, there are obvious differences, that the public services don't work. There are blackouts, there are internet. Well, internet in Australia is not that great, but there is no public transport. So I remember when I first came in and I got my first car, I was always telling people, I have a car. Because back home, if you have a car, people will gravitate towards you. And people in here are like, cool.
Yeah.
Nice to know.
And all this is part of your show as well. You're telling stories like this. Yeah. So it would have been pretty easy for you to have written this show because of the incredible experience you've had in arriving in this country.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy and it's not, because that's the beauty of comedy. Until you try it, you don't know if it's going to stick. Mm. And yeah, I can certainly tell an interesting story, but funny, you got to work extra for that.
Yeah, yeah. And do you do much stand-up these days? You know, like, have you, your journey as a comedian, is that what
yes,
it's been?
Yes, it's been hectic and fast. I did my first open mic about a year and a half ago.
Oh, only that recent, right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but ever since then, I was gigging four nights a week, six nights a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And these days I'm preparing for the festival, so you're trying to get all those bits sharpened.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
So I'm doing like three or four gigs a week.
Okay. And and of course, because you've been doing a lot of the circuit, you would be getting to know more and more of the comedians.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And you know, like, what's your goal? Would you like to be a comedian full time? It's you know, like, is that
I mean,
a dream?
That's my super secret silly dream.
Yeah.
And I'm working towards it. But I think a good advice for me and anyone in this is to know that the odds of that, it's not only up to you. There is luck and there is chance.
Yep.
And you just need to enjoy it, because that's the thing. If it starts losing the joy, for me, that's why I do it.
Yep. Yep.
Maybe because I do have a day job and a skill to fall back on.
Yep.
But if you're concerned with making it, whatever that means,
yep,
then, you know, maybe you'll make it, but it's going to be a rough ride.
Oh, absolutely. And what have you thought? Obviously, you can't do it right this very moment because of COVID around the world. Mm. But, you know, like, do you want to go to the Edinburgh Festival? Is that a dream? You know, like,
oh, definitely.
Or the Toronto Comedy Festival? And
yeah. I would love Edinburgh. Edinburgh. I would love that, because I've heard so much of it from people I've met in the circuit.
Yep.
I would love to do comedy in Spanish. I did it once in Madrid, and it was so rewarding, and it was so different. So I would love to come to a place in which I can do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it like? I mean, why was it different? Obviously, Spanish was your mother tongue. I get that part of it. Is it just a lot freer the way you?
Well, it is very different, because here in Australia, they give you 5 minutes. In Madrid, they give you 10, because the audience will not have a set of punchline scheme. They're not into that. They wanna hear a story from a friend.
Okay. So it's a different way of delivering.
Yes,
everything else.
Yes. But they are so much more expressive. The laughs I heard there, and none of us were like pros or big names, but this lady almost choked when I told her joke. And I've never seen that in Australia, not even in the big names, because I love watching comedy. And, you know, I don't know if it's a cultural thing. We Latinos are very loud and expressive, so I'm guessing it is related to that. But the other thing I loved as well is how honest they are, because I did the second part of my set. I didn't plan for it well, and it didn't stick, and nobody laughed, not even a sympathy. And, you know, it's rough, but I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
I like your honesty.
Which means I've got to try harder. I've got to be more organized. Yep.
And it means that the ones that you did like, you loved.
Yeah. All right. So you've been playing a few shows, but
yes,
they've just been a warm-up, because you're starting on April the 8th to 11th, and then 15th to 18th, which is the weekend.
Yes.
And where are you doing it?
I'm doing it at the Belgian Beer Cafe in Southank.
Yep.
It's a lovely venue, and they have
lots
any
of beer
you can think of. Yeah.
Do you like beer?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. They have like Hoegaarden, the wheat beer. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
All right. And the show's called?
Bunny Rabbit.
And your name is?
Sam Serna.
And so go to the program guide and find her.
Yes.
Bunny Rabbit's an easy one to remember, especially this time of the year. And all the very best.
Thank you so much.
And it's a ballsy thing to be a comedian, isn't it?
Yeah. Lots of people say, oh, you're so brave. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm just standing up and speaking, but if you want to give me that medal, I'll take it.
Why not? Sam, lovely to have met you. And I can't wait to see you when you're headlining at Edinburgh Festival.
Thank you so much for having me.
All the best. We've been speaking to Sam Cerner here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.